Chapter 15. There were three tourists at the bar at Freddy's, and Freddy was serving them. One was a very tall, thin, wide-shouldered man in shorts, wearing thick-lensed spectacles, tanned, with small, closely trimmed, sandy mustache. The woman with him had her blonde, curly hair cut short like a man's, a bad complexion, and the face and build of a lady wrestler. She wore shorts, too. "Oh, nerts to you," she was saying to the third tourist, who had a rather swollen reddish face, a rusty-colored mustache, a white cloth hat with a green celluloid visor, and a trick of talking with a rather extraordinary movement of his lips as though he were eating something too hot for comfort. "How charming," said the green-visored man. I'd never heard the expression actually used in conversation. I thought it was an obsolete phrase, something one saw in print in, the funny papers, but never heard. "Nerts, nerts, double nerts to you," said the lady wrestler lady in a sudden access of charm, giving him the benefit of her pimpled profile. "How beautiful," said the green-visored man. "You put it so prettily. Isn't it from Brooklyn originally?"
"You mustn't mind her, she's my wife," the tall tourist said. "Have you two met?"
"Oh, nerts to him and double nerts to meeting him," said the wife. "How do you do?"
"Not so badly," the green-visored man said. "How do you do?"
"She does marvelously," the tall one said. "You ought to see her." Just then Harry came in, and the tall tourist's wife said, "Isn't he wonderful? That's what I want. Buy me that, Papa."
"Can I speak to you?" Harry said to Freddy.
"Certainly, go right ahead and say anything you like," the tall tourist's wife said.
"Shut up, you whore," Harry said. "Come in the back, Freddy."
In the back was B-Lips waiting at the table. "Hello, big boy," he said to Harry.
"Shut up," said Harry.
"Listen," Freddy said. "Cut it out. You can't get away with that. You can't call my trade names like that. You can't call a lady a whore in a decent place like this."
"A whore," said Harry. "Hear what she said to me?"
"Well, anyway, don't call her a name like that to her face."
"All right. You got the money?"
"Of course," said B-Lips. "Why wouldn't I have the money? Didn't I say I'd have the money?"
"Let's see it."
B-Lips handed it over. Harry counted $1,000 bills and 420s. "It should be $1,200. "Less my commission," said B-Lips.
"Come on with it."
"No."
"Come on.
Don't be silly."
"You miserable little crut."
"You big bully," B-Lips said. "Don't try to strong-arm it away from me because I haven't got it here."
"I see," said Harry. "I should have thought of that.
Listen, Freddy, you've known me a long time. I know she's worth $1,200. This is 120 short. Take it and take a chance on the 120 in the charter." "That's $320, Freddy said. It was a painful sum for him to name as a risk, and he sweated while he thought about it.
"I got a car and a radio in the house that's good for it."
"I can make out a paper on that," B-Lip said.
"I don't want any paper," Freddy said. He sweat again and his voice was hesitant. Then he said,
"All right, I'll take a chance.
But for Christ's sake, be careful with the boat, will you, Harry?"
"Like it was my own."
"You lost your own," said Freddy, still sweating, his suffering now intensified by that memory.
"I'll take care of her."
"I'll put the money in my box in the bank," Freddy said.
Harry looked at B-Lips. "That's a good place," he said, and grinned.
"Bartender,"
someone called from the front.
"That's you," Harry said.
"Bartender,"
came the voice again. Freddy went out to the front.
"That man insulted me,"
Harry could hear the high voice saying, but he was talking to B-Lips.
"I'll be tied up to the dock there at the front of the street. It isn't half a block."
"All right."
"That's all."
"All right, big shot."
"Don't you big shot me."
"However you like.
I'll be there from 4 o'clock on."
"Anything else?"
"They gotta take me by force, see? I know nothing about it. I'm just working on the engine. I got nothing aboard to make a trip. I've hired her from Freddy to go charter fishing. They've got to hold a gun on me to make me start her, and they've got to cut loose the lines."
"What about Freddy? You didn't hire her to go fishing from him."
"I'm going to tell Freddy."
"You better not."
"I'm going to."
"You better not."
Listen, I've done business with Freddy since during the war. Twice I've been partners with him, and we never had trouble. You know how much stuff I've handled for him? He's the only son of a bitch in this town I would trust.
I wouldn't trust anybody.
You shouldn't. Not after the experiences you've had with yourself.
Lay off me.
All right, go out and see your friends. What's your out?
They're Cubans. I met them out at the roadhouse. One of them wants to cash a certified check. What's wrong with that?
And you don't notice anything?
No, I tell them to meet me at the bank.
Who drives them?
Some taxi.
What's he supposed to think they are, violinists?
We'll get one that don't think.
There's plenty of them that can't think in this town. Look at Jesus. Jesus is smart. He just talks funny.
I'll have them call a dumb one.
Get one hasn't any kids.
They all got kids. Ever see a taxi driver without kids?
You are a goddamn rat.
Well, I never killed anybody, Belips told him.
Nor you never will. Come on, let's get out of here. Just being with you makes me feel crummy.
Maybe you are crummy.
Can you get them from talking?
If you don't paper your mouth.
Paper yours, then. I'm going to get a drink, Harry said.
Out in front, the three tourists sat on their high stools. As Harry came up to the bar, the woman looked away from him to register disgust.
What will you have? Asked Freddy.
What's the lady drinking? Harry asked.
A Cuba Libre.
Then give me a straight whiskey.
The tall tourist with the little sandy mustache and the thick-lensed glasses leaned his large, straight-nosed face over toward Harry and said,
Say, what's the idea of talking that way to my wife?
Harry looked him up and down and said to Freddy,
What kind of a place you running?
What about it? The tall one said.
Take it easy, Harry said to him.
You can't pull that with me.
Listen, Harry said. You came down here to get well and strong, didn't you?
Take it easy.
And he went out.
I should have hit him, I guess, the tall tourist said.
What do you think, dear?
I wish I was a man, his wife said.
You'd go a long way with that build, the green-visored man said into his beer.
What did you say?
The tall one asked.
I said you could find out his name and address and write him a letter telling him what you think of him.
Say, what's your name, anyway? What are you doing, kidding me?
Just call me Professor McWalsey.
My name's Lawton, the tall one said. I'm a writer.
I'm glad to meet you, Professor McWalsey said.
Do you write often?
The tall man looked around him.
Let's get out of here, dear, he said.
Everybody is either insulting or nuts.
It's a strange place, said Professor McWalsey.
Fascinating, really.
They call it the Gibraltar of America, and it's 375 miles south of Cairo, Egypt.
But this place is the only part of it I've had time to see yet. It's a fine place, though.
I see you're a professor, all right, the wife said. You know, I like you.
I like you too, darling, Professor McWalsey said, but I have to go now.
He got up and went out to look for his bicycle.
Everybody is nuts here, the tall man said. Should we have another drink, dear?
I like the professor, the wife said. He had a sweet manner.
That other fellow.
Oh, he had a beautiful face, the wife said. Like a Tartar or something. I wish he hadn't been insulting. He looked kind of like Genghis Khan in the face. Gee, he was big.
He had only one arm, her husband said.
I didn't notice, the wife said. Should we have another drink? I wonder who'll come in next.
Maybe Tamerlane, the husband said.
Gee, you're educated, the wife said. But that Genghis Khan one would do me. Why did the professor like to hear me say nerds?
I don't know, dear, Lawton, the writer, said. I never did.
He seemed to like me for what I really am, the wife said. My, he was nice.
You'll probably see him again.
Anytime you come in here, you'll see him, Freddy said. He lives in here. He's been here for 2 weeks now.
Who's the other one who speaks so rude?
Him? Oh, he's a fellow from around here.
What does he do?
Oh, a little of everything, Freddy told her. He's a fisherman.
How did he lose his arm?
I don't know. He got it hurt some way.
Gee, he's beautiful,
the wife said.
Freddy laughed. I heard him call a lot of things, but I never heard him called that.
Don't you think he has a beautiful face?
Take it easy, lady, Freddy told her. He's got a face like a ham with a broken nose on it.
My, men are stupid, the wife said. He's my dream man.
He's a bad dream man, Freddy said.
All this time the writer sat there with a sort of stupid look on his face, except when he'd look at his wife admiringly.
Anyone would have to be a writer or an F-E-R-A man to have a wife look like that, Freddy thought.
God, isn't she awful?
Just then in came Albert.
Where's Harry?
Down at the dock.
Thanks, said Albert.
He went out, and the wife and the writer kept on sitting there, and Freddy stood there worrying about the boat and thinking how his legs hurt from standing up all day. He had put a grating over the cement, but it didn't seem to do much good. His legs ached all the time. Still, he was doing a good business, as good as anybody in town and with less overhead. That woman was goofy, all right. And what kind of a man was it would pick out a woman like that to live with? Not even with your eyes shut, thought Freddy. Not with a borrowed. Still, they were drinking mixed drinks. Expensive drinks. That was something.
Yes, sir, he said, right away.
A tanned-faced, sandy-haired, well-built man wearing a striped fisherman's shirt and khaki shorts came in with a very pretty dark girl who wore a thin white wool sweater and dark blue slacks.
If it isn't Richard Gordon, said Lawton, standing up, with the lovely Miss Helen.
Hello, Lawton, said Richard Gordon. Did you see anything of a rummy professor around here?
He just went out, said Freddy.
Do you want a vermouth, sweetheart?
Richard Gordon asked his wife.
If you do, she said, then said, hello, to the two Lawtons. Make mine two parts of French to one Italian, Freddy.
She sat on a high stool with her legs tucked under her and looked out at the street. Freddy looked at her admiringly. He thought she was the prettiest stranger in Key West that winter. Prettier even than the famous, beautiful Mrs. Bradley. Mrs. Bradley was getting a little big. This girl had a lovely Irish face, dark hair that curled almost to her shoulders and smooth, clear skin. Freddy looked at her brown hand holding the glass.
How's the work? Lawton asked Richard Gordon.
I'm going all right, Gordon said. How are you doing?
James won't work, Mrs. Lawton said. He just drinks.
Say, who is this Professor McWalsey? Lawton asked.
Oh, he's some sort of professor of economics, I think, on a sabbatical year or something. He's a friend of Helen's.
I like him, said Helen Gordon.
I like him too, said Mrs. Lawton.
I liked him first, Helen Gordon said happily.
Oh, you can have him, Mrs. Lawton said. You good little girls always get what you want.
That's what makes us so good, said Helen Gordon.
I'll have another vermouth, said Richard Gordon.
Have a drink? He asked the Lawtons.
Why not? Said Lawton.
Say, are you going to that big party the Bradleys are throwing tomorrow?
Of course he is, said Helen Gordon.
I like her, you know, said Richard Gordon. She interests me, both as a woman and as a social phenomenon.
Gee, said Mrs. Lawton, you can talk as educated as the professor.
Don't strut your illiteracy, dear, said Lawton.
Do people go to bed with a social phenomenon? Asked Helen Gordon, looking out the door.
Don't talk rot, said Richard Gordon.
I mean, is it part of the homework of a writer? Helen asked.
A writer has to know about everything, Richard Gordon said. He can't restrict his experience to conform to bourgeois standards.
Oh, said Helen Gordon. And what does a writer's wife do?
Plenty, I guess, Mrs. Lawton said. Say, you ought to have seen the man who was just in here and insulted me and James. He was terrific.
I should have hit him, Lawton said.
He was really terrific, said Mrs. Lawton.
I'm going home, said Helen Gordon. Are you coming, Dick?
I thought I'd stay downtown a while, Richard Gordon said.
Yes, said Helen Gordon, looking in the mirror behind Freddy's head.
Yes, Richard Gordon said.
Freddy, looking at her, figured that she was going to cry. He hoped it wouldn't happen in the place.
Don't you want another drink? Richard Gordon asked her.
No, she shook her head.
Say, what's the matter with you? Asked Mrs. Lawton. Aren't you having a good time?
A dandy time,
said Helen Gordon, but I think I'd better go home just the same.
I'll be back early, Richard Gordon said.
Don't bother, she told him. She went out. She hadn't cried. She hadn't found John McWalsey either.